Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
Thursday, 20 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Preston Naramsamy, we're going to touch on that Richemont update, which the market absolutely loved. And if we've got a minute, Aspen from the day before, the market didn't love that one. Talking Karoo with their latest results. Costs are surging, but they seem to have a plan around that. And then Skulklo, PSG Old Oak, what the experts are expecting for this year. He spent his holidays going through all of the predictions for 2022. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Inflation hits a five-year high. Came in 5.9%. 5.7 was the expected. 5.5 was November. Still in the range, but definitely at the top end. PwC economist Dr. Kristy Freeland says inflation has accelerated and it will be here for a bit. Not good news for consumers. Of course, we have MPC meeting announcement this time next week. Business day at Capitec interim in earnings per share would have been 13%. Lower with the BBBEE deal. Stock was down 4% after they announced they're going to issue 625,000 new shares to 10,000 permanent employees. Those are worth R1 billion. Morning markets, the US started green but ended red. S&P down 1%, NASDAQ off 1.1%. Asia mixed as Sydney's off 0.25% and Tokyo is up 0.5%. Commodities mixed, but a lot of green. Gold, 1,843, roaring higher as inflation rears its head. Brent, 88.08. The PGMs, we've got platinum above 1,000 at 1026. Palladium, 2,005, and rhodium, 16,490. PGMs looking good. Rand, 15.31. Top 40 opening call looking to be up 470 points. That's about 0.75%. That is top 40 closed at a new all-time high yesterday and 10 centers up 1.6% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Preston Naramsamy, Nedbank Private Wealth. Preston, appreciate the early morning. That Richemont update, and I've said this on the show many times, I got Richemont wrong. I didn't think they would be selling so much high-priced jewelry during a pandemic, but they absolutely did. Jewelry, quarter sales were up 35% year-on-year, beating consensus, and just having, truthfully, a really good run, and the stock responding up 5% yesterday.
Simon, very good share price performance yesterday. And in fact, for the last year, Simon, you know, this share's always looked expensive. But, you know, sometimes expensive shares can get increasingly more expensive. So, Simon, a year back, if we looked at the share, many analysts called it a sell already, and it delivered more than 80% for 2021. So, you know, I'd certainly not like to call tops. But what I can say, Simon, is that, you know, growth could be a little bit more challenging for this, business going forward. You know, we've seen extremely strong trends in respect to, you know, just the growth, just the momentum in the U.S. You know, the consumer sitting with a whole lot of cash there. Sales in the U.S. grew 55-odd%. And even in Europe and Japan, Simon, we saw the likes of, you know, tourism and, you know, COVID restrictions easing in those part of the world. And, you know, that supported sales growth in, you know, some of those regions as well. And, you know, Simon, the encouraging thing is, you know, the consumer is still looking, you know, pretty strong. Households are sitting with, you know, a fair amount of cash. And if this cash has to hit the real economy, Richemont will, you know, surely benefit. And we could see the potential for special dividends as well, given the fact that the business is, you know, virtually debt free. So, Simon, of course, the risk here is, of course, a share price. You know, it's always been the risk. The earnings base does look extremely high. And, of course, as interest rates do normalize, now my concern is that we could see the share price lose a little bit of ground, given that the company is more or less a long-duration equity, given its PE in excess of, you know, 28 times. So, Simon, yeah, it's an interesting one. It'll be interesting to monitor if this momentum can be sustained. But yeah, it just looks as if that higher LSM, you know, that consumer is a little bit more resilient. And of course, in the last 2 years with all of the money printing, they've of course been, you know, the major beneficiaries and they're spending a lot of money.
Yeah, and Richemont up 66% in the last 12 months. Staggering return. Aspen, the other side, they put out a trading update after the close on Tuesday. A tougher update. And the market did the exact opposite with Aspen, selling it down. A quick thought on Aspen.
Yeah, Simon, I actually thought, you know, operationally, performance was decent. You know, sales up around 10%. Numbers were decent. Business got a little bit of a boost from the manufacture of vaccines to Johnson & Johnson. That was a little bit of ahead of market expectations as well. Mm-hmm. But Simon, the poor share price performance was purely on the back of the market just focusing on the fact that the disposal of their API business has fallen away. And that would have certainly helped to reduce debt quite a bit. And the market did expect a decent PE from this deal, Simon. So, market not liking it all that, but I'm still a little bit bullish on the share. I think that, you know, manufacturing revenues on the vaccine front shorter term will boost earnings. I think the flight to de-gearing is, a little bit more clear. And Simon, we're coming off $270 a couple of months back. We're back at $200. So I think, improved outlook on the vaccine front and the flight to de-gearing is probably being a little bit underappreciated by market participants at this moment in time, Simon. And technically speaking, I think, you know, the technicals are looking a little bit decent. Let's see if we make a little bit of a turnaround. And I think there's still a lot of value in the share.
Yeah, I mean, that high was, what, 281.57 back in September. But it's still up 40% in the last year. So, I mean, we can't sniff at that. Preston Naramsami, Nedbank Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining now is Zach Callisto, CEO of Karooooo. Third quarter results saw revenue up 20%, subscribers up 18%, earnings per share up 10%. Zach, as always, appreciate the early morning. A point you make in the results, which really stood out for me, but I suppose in hindsight, really makes great sense. You're spending a lot more on sales and marketing, that number up 23%, but you make the point that you kind of know, you've got the history in the business. If you spend X rand acquiring account, you will ultimately make profit on it. So spending more on the sales and marketing really is just good old fashioned common sense, I suppose.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, fundamentally, we've got great margins in our business. If you look at our operating profit margin in Cartrack in this quarter, it was 31%. And we know we keep our customers for a very long time. And we certainly want to spend more money on acquiring customers. So it makes sense for us to do that. Clearly, if we do that, we'll have margin compression, which traditionally South African investors haven't enjoyed or supported. But I think most investors are putting their minds around it and understanding that we're not investing to be a good business next year. But what we're doing is we want to be a great business in 15 years' time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. There might be some margin compression now, but you've then got that customer and you're going to earn off that customer well into the future.
That's exactly right, Simon. So we certainly want to say, if you look at our first quarter, we actually cut back our spend from quarter one. Mm-hmm. We started spending quite a significant amount in Asia, thinking that Asia was going to open up, and it remains closed. And then we had to actually cut back some of that spend because we also want to do it in a disciplined manner. And we run quite a tight ship, so we want to make sure there's very little spillage.
You're still having, we've been chatting, and this is a recurring theme where, you know, a market starts to open and then suddenly gets closed again because of the pandemic. You noted that South Africa had a better quarter because we were having less challenges there. Short answer is COVID-19, the pandemic is still interrupting business in places.
Yes, most definitely. So if you look at Asia, they started opening up in November. it only lasted 2 weeks. Then, you know, once Omicron got discovered in South Africa, then they've since then closed their borders to all travel. So it's, I'm really hoping that we'll be over all of this in the next 6 to 12 months.
You're still you're spending on R&D and you know you're a tracking company, but in many senses you are an IoT. You're a big data business, software as a service, and therefore your sales and marketing one expense, R&D again spending now, and this will have it'll have impact now, but it's that long term build the base, build the IP.
And that's exactly what we're doing. So our R&D spend, that's really gone up a lot. And that's fundamentally because we started, when we initially started as a business, we're very much a track and trace company. Mm-hmm. In 2007, we moved into fleet management. We went onto cloud. It was our first real SaaS platform. Subsequently to that, we've evolved. And today, we're really involved in integrations into customers, other softwares that they use, into their warehouses, into helping them, assisting them with their deliveries, assisting them with their field workers, assisting them with the digitalization of the administration around drivers and fleets. So we're becoming much more a business today in assisting a customer, specifically enterprise customers, in running their business, their operations on the ground.
One of the challenges of the pandemic has been a shortage of silicon chips. This has played significantly into the vehicle manufacturing. We've certainly seen that globally, just where you know production is a challenge because of the shortage of chips. Has that been impacting you, and are you seeing any improvement in vehicle manufacturing and hence sales of vehicles, which then will flow into increased demand for fleets and tracking?
So in terms of new vehicles, you know, I'm not close enough to talk with certainty, but it actually appears that it might even be getting worse. In terms of components for manufacturing of our telematics devices, that is also certainly getting worse. We're quite fortunate that we've always sort of carry on our balance sheet a substantial amount of inventory that will carry us through quite a few months. And I feel comfortable that I don't believe we'll have an issue until February 2023. But what we are finding is the lead times are getting longer. They're not getting any shorter.
Yeah, okay. So you manage it from your side with inventories, but I take your point that globally, perhaps things are actually deteriorating rather than improving. We'll leave it there. Zach Callisto, CEO, Karooooo, appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Skulk Lowe, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning during your summer holidays. And I got to say, I thought I was a market nerd, but I think you topped me on this. You were going through the forecasts released by all the large investment houses, and you kind of collated them together, a couple of big themes. The big concern, perhaps, the big concerning theme, obviously inflation. We've seen South African inflation now. We've seen the UK and Canada yesterday, the US last week. Certainly, the inflation worry is real and is happening out there.
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the MoneyWeb listeners now. Yeah, I know. Well, let's add to that point, Simon, that we clearly now know it's not transitory. I mean, I think that might have been the word of the year, most probably word of the decade. But yeah, no, inflation definitely. I think when you look at these reports, I think that is the main theme that came through, and evident. You know, where we're sitting, you know, I think looking at, you know, some of these commodity prices, oil prices, food prices, I don't foresee that becoming less of a problem. I think they mentioned, I think BlackRock, well, they mentioned, I think, the best when they said, we flagged inflation, now we're living with inflation. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. And I don't foresee that changing soon.
Yeah, I suppose, in a sense, to coin a cliche, the new normal. The other big story was commodities. Of course, very important for our economy. We are a commodity economy. We've seen, you know, PGM sort of moving a bit this morning, yesterday, gold, certainly oil. And the short version is, and you make the point, if you thought the commodity run had reached its peak, you might want to think again. The commodities have more space for upside.
Yeah, that's my second favorite saying. I mean, last year, everybody were calling, or let's call it not everybody, I think consensus were calling it, you know, the top of the commodity cycle, the commodity boom. And here we're sitting a year later, and well, clearly not. But let's say, well, although, you know, all of these investment houses are convinced that precious metals are set to still deliver, you know, shimmering, you know, pun intended, shimmering performance for 2022. The consensus is still that oil is the commodity offering the best value. And I think, you know, looking at some of these things, Morgan Stanley, they actually came out end of last year when they brought out their 2022 outlook. They said, you know, oil could top $90 a barrel in 2022, a rising demand. And they mentioned the supply chain. Hey, we're at $90 already. Yeah. So here we go. I mean, it's not even the end of January. So that is a clear worry, and a clear worry again for inflation.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferies is out there saying oil at 150, but there's always, I remember the calls for oil at 200 way back in 2008. There's always someone out there. Fixed income market is not looking at that. They're saying nope. Credit Suisse says, quite frankly, government bond yields likely deliver negative returns. It is still equities, but maybe it's value equities for a change. And it's been a long time since we could have said that.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, you know, we've had this theme and I think halfway through last year, I'm really, really harping on this whole value thing. And I think, you know, when we look where we are now, I mean, this is definitely, and we've seen it. I mean, look at the first part of this year. There was, I wouldn't say it's a total reversion, but clearly some reversion. You know, BNP Paribas view, I love their view. They said that the wide valuation gap between value and growth stocks and the prospect of high interest rates suggests upside is ahead. And then Vanguard, they actually discouraged. They actually said, you know, for you as investors, you know, the modest return out at believe opportunities for those investing outside their home market. So, I mean, we've seen the U.S., you know, for the past, you know, few days, or let's call it a week and a half, clearly not the place. And then they continue to say they think value stocks is still more attractive than growth stock. So there's a definite golden thread among these, you know, large investment houses. So I would definitely, you know, encourage you, all the listeners, just go look at maybe some of these value ETFs, value fund managers, and value stocks if you manage your own equity portfolio.
Yeah, and there are some ETFs, both local and global, which can do that for you easily, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and go find some great value stocks. It's going to be weird because we've had the US absolutely booming for a decade, value's been nowhere, and now suddenly maybe times are changing. Skelklo, PSG, Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. A poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. We're chatting with Preston Aramsami around Richemont there. Great trading update. Stock up 5%. Luxury continues to boom. And it's not just Richemont. It's the other offshore luxuries as well. I suppose the question is, do you hold that stock? I've said it many times before. I got Richemont as wrong as I possibly could have. On its early rally last year, which was about 100% ago, I took my money and ran in it. But have your vote, have your say. Are you holding? Are you preferring the offshore luxury perhaps? Or maybe you missed it. Or perhaps, like me, you actually just truthfully messed it up. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Jonathan Hurwitz from Toljoy, CEO there, on retail in the post-COVID world. And he's talking around, you know, value as a verb and how they really need to delight customers. And the days of bad customer experiences, whether in-store or online, simply won't crack it. And we asked whether you thought experiences had been improving. About a third of you said yes. Almost half of you said, it's about the same. With a quarter of you saying, actually, in places, it is worse. And it is a bit of a hit and miss. I've had some horrid experiences, but then I've also had some absolutely brilliant ones. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Nebuchle, Nicole, Eddie. Thanks to you for listening. My guests for the early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.